us we have, we would encourage you to come. If you care not to come forward and make your prayer requests, we made it convenient for you by placing cards in the pockets in front of where you're sitting. Take one of those and fill out your prayer request, and it'll be read, and it will be prayed for. We have those who need to come to confess of an erring way of which they have repented. We would urge you to come. Whatever your need is this morning, we want to meet that need, if it's at all possible. So again, thank you for being here with us on this day. Psalms 118 in verse 23 says this. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Verse 24 says, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Many times we sing the song, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. And while I am sure the rejoicing will be of a much greater magnitude then, but for the faithful child of God, we can rejoice while on our way to heaven. But it takes a certain mindset and a special relationship with the Lord to be able to do this. Otherwise, the burdens and the cares of this life will rob us of all the joy and the peace that we can enjoy here. The sweet singer of Israel, David, who spent much time in confrontation with his enemies, wrote many of the Psalms. And many of them were designed to bring comfort and encouragement to the people of God. Psalms 118 is such a one. In this Psalms, David entreats his brethren to give thanks for the mercy and the goodness of God. Verses 1 through 4. He speaks of how the Lord had delivered him when he was in distress, verses 4 through 7. He says that it was better to put his trust in the Lord rather than to place confidence in man, as well as princes, verses 8 and 9. Even when the nation surrounded him, the Lord had protected him. Verses 10 through 14. The Lord did chastise him, but he did not take his life away. Verses 17 and 18. It is no wonder then that he rejoiced in every day and encouraged his brethren to rejoice with them. In every day that the Lord gave him, David rejoiced. So let us then examine particular verse number 24, where again he says, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice in it. Let's look at this passage and let's see if there is a reason for us this morning to rejoice like David was encouraging his brethren in Israel to do. And so this morning's lesson, a day of rejoicing. A day of rejoicing. Look at the passage again. He says, this is the day that the Lord has made. I would suggest to us this morning that we ought to be a rejoicing people because it was the Lord that has made this day. We learn this even from the creation story. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, the Bible says, "And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light," what?
Day.
"And the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day." But who was it that made the day? It was God. And everything that God made was good. So the day is a good day. We may have what we call bad days, but that's what we call them. The day is a good day because God has made the day. Truly, then, it is a marvelous thing, as he says in verse 23. You see, the day was made for us to do whatever we needed to do, to carry out God's business. And God's business in the book of Genesis was for man to subdue the earth, to take care of the earth, to perform whatever task that was necessary to perform in subduing the earth. And God gave man the day to do that. I would suggest to us, as we look at this from a spiritual standpoint, that the day then becomes a symbol of our spiritual walk that we ought to have with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's why when Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, when he was encouraging them not to let the day of the Lord slip upon them as a thief in the night, he said this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4, beginning. He said, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of" what? "Of light." And when God back in Genesis saw light, that it was good, and the Bible says he separated light from darkness, and he called light what?
Day.
He called light day. So Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, you are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, they sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of righteousness and love, for an helmet, the hope of salvation. My brothers and sisters, members of the body of Christ, we are children of the day, not of the night. We don't sleep in darkness, but we walk in the light. We walk as children of the light. And since then, when God saw the light, and it was good, and he called it day, he has made this day for us. And we ought to be people who are walking, of course, in the light. And when we walk in the light, no matter what comes, we can still say, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will, not we may, but we will be glad in it. Are you glad today? Are you so burdened down until you can't see the blessing of the day? I would say to us this morning to recognize that this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all then rejoice in it, because we have a reason to rejoice. God's people have a reason to rejoice. And so again, when David looked over his life and he saw how God had been so merciful to him, how God had taken care of him, how God had delivered him, he says, oh, this is a marvelous thing. It's marvelous. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So I would say to us then, every day for the child of God is a day to rejoice. Not only did the Lord make the day, but notice that each day is made one at a time. Have you ever realized that? Each day is made one at a time. Today is not yesterday, and today won't be tomorrow. Yesterday was yesterday. Today is today. And tomorrow, if we see it, will be tomorrow. Because the Lord makes each day one day at a time. Notice he says this is the day that the Lord has made. And as Brother Frank would say, Brother Frank Smith says many times, that today is the first day of the rest of our lives. God is making each day one day at a time. And since he makes one day at a time, it just makes sense for us to take one day at a time. Yes, we may face many things during that day, but take each day at a time, one day at a time. No matter what kind of day it is, it's still the Lord's day. He has made that day, and the Lord is still in control of that day. Someday we may have to cry, but the Lord's in control. Someday we're sad and lonely, but the Lord is still in control of that day. Sometimes days look like nothing will go our way, but the Lord is still in control of that day. And sometimes I think we forget that the Lord is still in control. We wonder sometimes, why do all of these things happen to me? They're happening, yes. But the Lord is still in control. The Lord will still take care of us if we're faithful to him. So no matter what kind of day we seem to be having, it's still the Lord's day that he has made. And we still ought to be able to see something about that day that we can rejoice. Because the Lord made it. And everything the Lord makes is good. There's nothing bad that the Lord makes. Everything he makes is good. No matter then what kind of day it is, the Lord is still in control. That's why we should not get so bothered and boggled about what's going to happen on tomorrow and even what's going to happen today. Jesus even says that we ought to take one day at a time. In Matthew chapter 6, a very familiar passage, verses 33 and 34. You notice what he says after he had talked to them about how the birds, you know, they don't go out and gather, how he takes care of them. You know, the lilies of the field, they don't toil, they don't spin, but he takes care of them. He said, aren't you much more than they? If I take care of them, I'll take care of you. But he says now, but seek ye first the kingdom. Seek ye first, he says, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then he says, all these things will be added unto you. And then verse 34, he says this. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow. For the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. If God takes care of you today, don't you think he'll take care of you tomorrow? But sometimes the reason why we worry about tomorrow, perhaps, is because we're worried about today. We're not putting our trust and our confidence in God that he's going to take care of us today. But if he takes care of us today, the same God that takes care of us today will take care of us tomorrow. He won't cease to be. He'll still be God tomorrow. So take one day at a time, because this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm reminded of the song, One Day at a Time. It was written, sung by a lady. I'm only human. I'm just a woman. And if you sing it for yourself, man, you can say I'm just a man. The song says, help me to believe in what I could be and all that I am. Show me the stairway I have to climb. Lord, for thy sake, help me to take one day at a time. Another verse of it say, I won't read it all, but another verse of it would say, one day at a time, sweet Jesus. That's all I'm asking of you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday is gone, sweet Jesus. And tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today. Show me the way. One day at a time. So I'm saying to us this morning, let's take one day at a time. Don't worry about tomorrow. And of course, yesterday is gone. You can't do anything about it anyway. Can't do anything about tomorrow because it hadn't even come. So let's just take one day at a time, because the Lord only makes one day at a time, and he only gives us one day at a time. I know sometimes we'll say, I'm going to do such and such tomorrow. I'm going to do such and such on Saturday. And we may even say, if it's the Lord's will. But the Lord has not given us that other time yet. So let's just take one day at a time, because this is the day that the Lord has made. David says, we will rejoice and be glad in it. And then that one day that the Lord gives us, we have the opportunity to use it. But the question is, how are we going to use it? How are we going to use that one day that the Lord gives us? I will tell us this morning that some will use it wisely and some will use it unwisely. But Paul said to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 15, he says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Verse 16, he says, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. So Paul is saying then that we need to be very careful how we even use this one day at a time. Don't use it as a fool, but use it as wise, as a wise person. We need to redeem the time. As we look at the one day that God gives us, some will make it a day of bitterness. Some will make it a day of worry. Others will view it like the psalmist, and I hope all of us this morning will view it like David viewed it. He said, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And so I say to us this morning then, again, because of all that God does for us, how he just showers us with blessings day in and day out, those one days at a time. He keeps on blessing us. He keeps on loving us. And he keeps on forgiving us. Oh, we ought to just be glad and rejoice in every day that the Lord gives us. So then, so again, there ought to be some fruit that comes out of our rejoicing. In other words, there ought to be some way we can just measure and see the joy in our lives. But I tell us this morning, let it be a day of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for what? I talk so much about grace, I talk so much about mercy, but we ought to just be thanking the Lord again for his mercy and for his grace. Oh yes, in the first part of that psalm, Psalm 118, he says that his mercy endureth forever. God is a merciful God, and we ought to be rejoicing every day in giving thanks to God for being merciful. Because you know the reason why we saw this day? Because God was merciful. If he had rewarded us, as the psalmist said in another place, according to our iniquities, according to our sins, according to what we deserve, we wouldn't be here, because we don't deserve a thing. It's all because of the mercy and the grace of God that we are here this morning. So we ought to use this day as a day of thanksgiving for God's mercy and for his grace. Use it as a day of thanksgiving for the salvation that he gives us through Jesus Christ, because he doesn't want anybody to be lost. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 9 says, God has not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. We ought to be so thankful each and every day for the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. We ought to be so thankful each and every day for God's long suffering, for God keep on putting up with us. Because you see, sometimes we don't want to put up with anybody. But God loves us so much, he will put up with us. He said, John, I know you ain't going to do right all the time, but I'll put up with you. He's long-suffering, giving me a chance to straighten up my act. So he's giving all of us a chance to straighten our act up. So we ought to be people that are thankful each and every day for God's long-suffering, for God's love, for God's providence, for God's provision, for God's help, Oh, we ought to be a thankful people each and every day of our lives. Because, again, we are not worthy of anything that God gives us. But through our faith in Jesus Christ, He makes us worthy. I'm thankful this morning that God makes me worthy through Jesus Christ. I know you're thankful that God makes you worthy through Jesus Christ. Because without Jesus Christ, if I can say it like this, we ain't nothing. We ain't nothing. Oh, yes, I remember those few words that Sister Betty Pope would allow me to use this morning that our father used to say all the time. I ain't nothing. We ain't nothing without Christ. Because John 15:5 says, without me, you can do nothing. So if we can do nothing, that means we ain't nothing without him. Oh, yes, we need Jesus Christ. So we ought to use each and every day to be thankful for Jesus Christ. When we render obedience to him, of course, God makes us worthy through Jesus Christ. Oh, we ought to just rejoice each and every day that we have another day to love and to serve somebody, because that's what our lives need to be all about, loving and serving other folks. So oftentimes we turn everything on us, but it's not on us. It's about serving somebody else. Jesus left us the great example. He came to serve, not to serve, to be served, but he came to serve, as Matthew chapter 20 will teach us. And he didn't come for us to serve him in a selfish manner, but he came to serve us and to give his life a ransom for many. So each and every day ought to be spent then in serving and loving others. Each and every day ought to be a day of praise and glorifying God. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. How's your day? Oh, I know sometimes when people ask, how's your day? The reply may come back, oh, this is a bad day. Nothing's going my way this day. I want to ask us a question this morning. Is it a day of rejoicing or is it a day of complaining? Is it a day of serving or is it a day of sulking? Is it a day of worshiping or is it a day of worrying? Is it a day of blessing others or one of waiting for others to bless us? How is our day? I would say let all of us have such a day like the psalmist had, like David had and was encouraging his brothers to have. He said, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We need to have that attitude. And notice again what he says about that day. He says, we will rejoice in it, not after it. Somebody said, oh, I'm having so much trouble, I'll be glad when this day is over. If I could just get through this day, then maybe everything will be all right. The psalmist said, everything's all right now. I'm rejoicing no matter how my enemies are hounding me, no matter the struggles and the troubles in my life, I'm still rejoicing in the day, not after the day, not when the day is over. I'm going to rejoice even in the midst of all of this. Paul was in prison. If anybody had a reason not to rejoice, Paul had a reason not to rejoice. But he was in prison, and he rejoiced in prison. He didn't wait until he got out of prison to rejoice, but he rejoiced in prison. Notice what he said in Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer. And the Philippian letter was written from prison. So he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with what?
Joy.
He's in prison, writing them this letter. And he's remembering this church at Philippi. And he says, I am making requests, or in other words, I am praying to God on your behalf with joy. Not with sadness, not in distress, but I'm praying with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now. And then he says this over in verse 16 and 18, and he talks about some folks who are preaching the gospel will not preach it for the right reason. He says, the one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, or supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding, he says, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and therein do what? I therein rejoice. Where is he? In prison. So he says, I'm still rejoicing, and I will rejoice. Is that your attitude? Or do we only see things, times to rejoice when things are going well? But when things are not going well in our lives, because we are children of God, because we have hope, we ought to continue to rejoice. Paul and Silas again in a Philippian jail. Bible says at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. So in these, which seem to be places of no joy, Paul found joy. He found joy. So I would say to us this morning, when we are in situations which seem to be of no joy, when we find ourselves in places which seem to be no joy, realize what we have in Christ Jesus and still rejoice. So again, David says, this is a marvelous thing. This is a wonderful thing. This is an amazing thing that the Lord has done. He says, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice in it. And so the lesson then is to us today. Let's find something to rejoice in. Let's find something to be happy about. Because if there's anybody that ought to be happy, it ought to be God's folks. It ought to be Christians. It ought to be members of the Church of Christ. And that's why everybody ought to want to have a relationship with the Lord. You know, I started off by saying that it takes a certain mindset and a certain relationship with our Lord to find a time to rejoice. So everybody ought to have, ought to want to have that special relationship with the Lord. Because if you don't have that special relationship, if I don't have that special relationship with the Lord, I don't have a reason to rejoice. Oh, I can find some temporary joy, but no lasting joy. Only lasting joy comes with a special relationship with the Lord, which means that you got to be, number one, in the Lord. Number two, doing the Lord's will. So I want to encourage you then this morning to look at your life, examine your life, and see where you are with your relationship with the Lord. Are you in the Lord? Are you a member of the body of Christ, the church you can read about in the New Testament? Oh, I know man says any church will do. But the Lord, through his word, says only one church will do. That's the church that the Lord died for. Oh, yes, it's the Church of Christ. I don't say it arrogantly, but it's the Church of Christ. It's the one he promised to build, the one he did build, the one that he asked to save to. That's the only place you can find eternal joy. Is in the Lord, in the Lord's church, doing his will. You can say like David then, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Would you obey the gospel this morning? How do you obey the gospel? Hear and believe the gospel. Hear how God loved you. How he sent Jesus to die for your sins. How Jesus did die. According to the scriptures, he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 3. So hear that great story. That's called a great story of love, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have an everlasting life. So put your faith and your confidence in Jesus Christ, what God has done for you. Believe that with all your heart. And then turn from your sins, because if you die in your sins, where Jesus is, Jesus is in heaven. He said, you can't go. So you got to turn from your sins. That's called repentance. Because if you don't do it, Jesus said, you're going to perish. Luke 13:3. Then make that good confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Acts 8 and verse 37. Then after doing that, go down in a watery grave of baptism for the remission of sins. Acts 2 and verse 38. When you do that, then the Lord will add you to his church. Then you can rejoice. You can have eternal joy if you keep on obeying the Lord, being faithful unto death. Revelations 2 and verse 10. Jesus says, if you do that, I'll give you a crown of life. Yes, indeed. We ought to be a people that can rejoice no matter what come, no matter what go, and no matter what hang around. We ought to still be able to rejoice. But you can only do it in Christ Jesus, living a faithful life. So would you come this morning? If you're already a member of the body of Christ, but somehow you're walking contrary to the will of God, I want to encourage you to repent. Turn away from it, and if you need to confess, why not do it? Maybe you just want prayers offered on your behalf. Whatever your need is this morning, I hope and trust that you'll let it be made known. Because I want all of us to be able to rejoice and be glad every day that the Lord gives us. So would you come? Would you come right now while we stand? Why would you? Would you come? Come right now. Come to the Lord. Would you come?
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Search me and try me.
Perhaps somebody needs to come. Would you come? Would you come?
Water and snow.
Brothers and sisters, I have sinned, and I repent of my sin, and I allowed someone this week to get me so upset that I came out of character, and I ask the church that you continue to pray for me as I continue my walk as a Christian.
Good morning. I just would like to thank everyone for your prayers on behalf of my father. He also sends his prayers of thanks.